From NPR Music, you're connected to a special Valentine edition of All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. And when you think of love, you think of passion, tenderness, caring, sincerity, and like this song, a heapin' helpin' of sincerity. There are millions of love songs. Some talk about the magic of love, and then there are all the others. And that's why we invited filmmaker and subculture king John Waters. Waters has just compiled a CD called A Date with John Waters. It includes that sincere offering by Patience and Prudence, whoever the heck they were.
Oh, I know who they were.
Tell me who they were. They said,
Patience and Prudence, this was a huge hit record. They had two hits, this one and Today You Belong to Me. I forget the other one, but they were either the daughters or the babysitters, I'm not sure, of the owner of Liberty Records. And this was like the number one record in the whole country in the early 50s. This is probably the most popular song on the CD. I mean, as far as being, but it was the first song I ever shoplifted. So it made it especially weird because it was
45, I presume.
Yes, yeah. It was so pure and so good and so shoplifted, which always thinks that this album is kind of, in my view, is in the liner notes I talk about, these are the songs I'd try to seduce you with on Valentine's Day, mm-hmm, if you came over to my house. So I'd start off easy.
So that's why it's A Date With.
Yeah, that's why it's called A Date With.
And this song really did belong to you, putting it under your vest or whatever.
Yes, and I was 8 years old. But I don't feel guilty about shoplifting because I've used a lot of songs I shoplifted in my movies, and it usually cost about $25,000 each for the worldwide rights. So they got their money back. It just took 40 years in some case.
What was music like when you were growing up in Baltimore? Where you heard it over AM radio, I presume?
Yeah. Well, when I grew up in the 50s, certainly early rock and roll was what I listened to. And WITH and Buddy Dean. And as soon as we could, we started listening to the black stations, mm-hmm, which Baltimore had really good ones. WSID, WEBB, WWIN. And in Annapolis, Maryland, WAAN. They had to go off the air at 5 o'clock. So did WEBB. It was almost like they had to get out of town at sundown. They only had a license. They could only go to a certain time. So this is what I grew up with, rhythm and blues, really, more. But when I first heard Elvis, it changed my life. And Little Richard, too. I mean, I still carry his mustache. So it was obviously a big, big influence. And at the time, your parents were very, very against liking rock and roll in 1955 and 6. And I spent my whole allowance every week on records, every penny. I had a top 10 board over my bed that I called record stores and asked them what was selling. So I was obsessed by it. Like everything, I went overboard with it. And my parents hated it because they hated Elvis Presley. They hated rock and roll. I mean, they liked your hit parade. And this was the end of your hit parade and the beginning of completely new sound
and
music.
And that song by Patience and Prudence was sort of your hit parade kind
Yes,
of
that
thing.
Was not rock and roll, but I still liked it. It was the crossover kind of like I could like this and at the same time like something much more threatening.
So give me something threatening. That would be.
In those days, Baby Let's Play House by Elvis Presley, certainly, or Lucille. I remember my grandmother hearing Little Richard screaming Lucille from my bedroom with great alarm, she felt.
There's some screamers and some risque stuff on this collection that you've put together. You want to?
Well, I think the biggest screaming song is I'm a huge fan of Ike and Tina Turner. I liked Tina more when she was with Ike. I'm sure she didn't, but I'm talking about listening to the records. Right. And Ike had a certain fashion threatening sense that to this day was scary and important in my life. But there's this song called All I Could Do Was Cry that many people have not heard, I don't think. And it's almost like a video I can picture in my mind as we listen to this song, the whole song about Tina being furious when Ike marries somebody else. And it's a song of great rage that
Absolutely.
Tina has her nose wide open, as she says.
Let's listen to the top of it, then we'll scoot into some of the rage a little later in
and
give people a taste. But let's hear the beginning of a song by Tina Turner, and it's called
Ike and Tina Turner.
I'm sorry.
All I Can Do Is Cry.
By a special request. I heard a church bell ring, and I heard a choir
let's cut to the chase a little bit. She's at a church, and
she's at a church, but she sees her man come down the aisle with another woman.
And yeah, she's not the one.
And she goes berserk. No, she knows he's marrying somebody else, but she's there. And as the song goes on, she basically gets madder and madder until he comes up to her and says he reserves a certain little spot.
That's a great moment. We won't give it away. Let's hear some more.
And she said, I do. But then he turned and he looked at my man. He said, and young man, do you take this lovely young lady here to be your loving and bewedded wife, to love and to cherish her until the day that you die? And he also smiled and said, I do. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that it was so hard for me to sit there and to hear the man that I love say those very words when people, I had waited so long. And I had struggled so hard. I had worked my fingers down to the bone to please the man, whether he was right or wrong. He was getting married to another girl. And when the wedding was coming to an end, and all of their friends was having so much fun, just laughing and talking with one another, he had the nerve to walk up to me, and you know what he said? I'm gonna tell you what he said. He said, Tina, darling, he said, even though we are apart, that I'm gonna always reserve a certain little spot in the corner of my heart. Now that was the corner of his heart. He didn't even stop to think what was in the corner of my heart. But it was a little too late for that, because people, the wedding was over with. They were marching out of the church. Their friends was throwing rice all over their heads. But as I sit there by myself, all I could do was cry. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's a... Tina lives in Switzerland today. It's a long way from this, let's say. Her home in Zurich, she lives a very life, almost like a Jacqueline Kennedy
kind of
life now. She got very far away. You can't blame her because of what happened, everything. But you look back, wow, it was sure different then. I don't think she'll be singing this song anytime soon again.
And be on the receiving end of that song.
Yeah.
There are great breakup songs. I wondered a great breakup song for you. What that might be.
Well, certainly Lorraine Ellison singing Stay With Me, I think, is one of the best ones. I mean, this is even before I'm Telling You I'm Not Going from Dreamgirls. It's the same kind of song. Mm-hmm. I think Bette Midler sang it in The Rose later. Right. But Lorraine Ellison, nobody can top her singing it.
Her performance is unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, if I remember right, she had a huge orchestra in the New York set.
When Bette Midler sang it, or when Lorraine sang it?
No, when Lorraine sang it, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, and someone will write us in and tell us.
Yeah.
But I think that Sinatra was supposed to be in a session that day, and she was there instead.
Really? Because yeah. I think it's her only hit, really.
Okay,
I had never heard of it until this song came out. It was a huge rhythm and blues hit when it came out, certainly.
Well, let's give a listen to Lorraine Ellison, and the song is called Stay With Me. This is... A cut that is not on the John Waters, A Date with John Waters, but it's
going to be on the Breaking Up with John Waters album. That comes next.
Coming soon.
Stay with me.
That's Lorraine Ellison, also known as Mary Bell Lorraine Ellison Gonzalez Keys. She's been married twice, so she's had a chance to sing that song a few times.
Now that the audience has slit their wrists after listening to those two songs.
That's right. Pick us something fun and upbeat.
Yeah, let's play one. I mean, there's one on this album that I have that's very different than the other. It's called If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd Bake a Cake by Eileen Barton, which to me sounds like a housewife on speed, knowing she's getting lucky that night.
She's eating a lot of the sugar before she made the cake. There's a couple of lines in here that are just so absurd and forced rhyme. I just love this song. Let's give a listen to it. And this is...
Perk things up a little after those two wrist slitters.
Right, and this one's On a Date with John Waters, and my guest here is John Waters.
Come in. Well, 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 look who's here. I haven't seen you in many a year. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake a cake, bake a cake, bake a cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake a cake. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band, grandest band in the land. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band and spread the welcome mat for you. Oh, I don't know where you came from, 'cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, hired a band. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake. Hot-cha-do, hot-cha-do, hot-cha-do.
You know, I just recently saw somebody said to me on YouTube, there is an old kinescope of her singing this that must be from an early television show where she's lip syncing with kids in the background and everything, and she's making a cake.
In
it's
a kitchen,
amazing. And this song, everybody's mother used to sing it to them. It was a thing. It was a big song that mothers liked. But as time goes on, she sounds more and more insane to me. That's why I really liked it. She's so perky that you think she's on diet pills. She ain't eating that cake. She just wants to talk.
I attribute a lot of the craziness of moms back then to the beauty shops of the day and the chemicals
Yes, that's true.
Do you know anything about it?
No, that's the only thing I know about it, really. I mean, I always just love the song. I remember my mom singing it. I remember, and I was going through, you know, to do these compilation albums, I work with this guy named Larry Beneshevitz in Baltimore, and we go through thousands of records, really, and get it down to the top 100, top 90, top 80. And then it has to be in the right order and has to be the right mix. Like, I mean, I have a punk rock song on this album. So I like to throw them all together and put them in an order where I'm using it as a narrative, kind of to tell you the story about. Come on over to my house and let's see what happens. It's called A Date with John Waters, so I build up to when I get lucky and then go to the next morning and by playing songs.
So where are we after the cake?
Well, the cake is towards the end. That's like right before you leave. And right after that is a song that, to me, called Bewildered, that we all mostly know by James Brown. But to hear Shirley and Lee sing it, I mean, isn't If You Really did have a great night and you got lucky with somebody, aren't you a little always bewildered when they leave? Because you like them and you thought, oh, God, now this love, you know, or possible it's going to work here. So it's always scary, I think. And to hear Shirley's voice, Shirley started the kind of nasal female vocals that I think then went to Angel Baby mm-hmm. by Rosie and the Original, and then to, what was her name, Kathy Linden, A Thousand Stars in the Sky. And then it went on to all those nasal voices. And so I think, thank God she never blew her nose, basically, before she sang this.
But it wasn't Sudafed or something.
Well, but she sounds so, I think it's heartbreaking, this song, and really, really beautiful. And even though her voice is God knows non-traditional, as pretty as Connie Francis's.
Oh, good. Let's give a listen to it's the last cut on A Date with John Waters, and it's called
Bewildered.
Without you, dear, wishing your heart could hear what's in my heart. Must I have sleepless nights and endless days?
Happened to Shirley and Lee?
Well, they had a lot of big hits. You know, they had I Feel Good and Let the Good Times Roll uh-huh. were their giant hits in the 50s. But they recorded, I have a box set from Bear Mountain Records that's absolutely mm-hmm. amazing. They're this great company in Europe that put, it's everything they ever did. It's four CDs of hundreds of songs.
Good, no.
I mean, yeah. Wow. They did a lot of stuff. And that's where I heard this record for the very first time.
It's a great one.
So, and I mean, I saw James Brown sing that song many, many times. I mean, that was his big hit early in his career, and I used to see him do it at the Royal Theater in Baltimore, which was something you'll never forget.
I met
James Brown this year, actually. Yes, of all places at Barney's at a store, at some reception, and I said to him,
"The clothing store."
Yeah, I said I used to see you in Baltimore, and I got beat up every time I went to see you there, but it was worth it.
The scene, I mean, in this case, R&B, it was very much. in those days, a very big separation between black people listen to what white people listen to.
And white people listen to it, but crossover. They didn't go see it live.
Yeah, but you did.
Yeah, yeah. And there would be race riots, actually. And there would be riots every time James Brown. They break the windows of Gentleman's Gage Corner, the men's clothing store across the street from the Civic Center in Baltimore. It was a tradition. You did it every time James Brown played. I didn't. I just watched.
Didn't get a jacket or anything.
No, I didn't. I didn't look so great in those clothes anyway. There was full James Brown, like, you know, Superfly outfits before that. But certainly I didn't have the nerve to wear them in high school. I got beat up enough.
How did music and love intertwine for you growing up?
Music gave me freedom to be who I wanted and to go to completely into other worlds. And I still like all kinds of music. I like punk rock music a lot. I listen to rap music all the time today. So basically, it gave me freedom to go into other worlds. It fed my defiance, which all rock and roll should. It fed my rebellion. It made me not believe this world that I was raised to be in, that I had to go there. So it was greatly liberating for me.
So it was all the reasons your parents wanted you not to listen
exactly.
to it, right?
Exactly, yeah.
It didn't.
Yeah.
A great makeout song. You're on this date with John.
Well, a makeout song to me is, I love Al Hibbler. I'm a big fan. And there's a song called After the Lights Go Down Low. And he almost sounds like he's singing in a Baltimore accent, but he's not. It's just the way Al Hibbler always sang. But it sounds like, after the lights go down, low. That's how they say it in Baltimore. So I always really love this song. So this is what I put on if I'm going to start a lip lock. You better move if
there
you hear this song around me.
A relationship between the Baltimore accent and sort of the Cockney accent. And he's sort of doing this kind of Brit thing.
Yeah, he is. But to me, you'll see what I mean when you hear it. It sounds pretty similar to Baltimoreese to me, on a much classier way. Though, in a much more soulful way. And I used to see Al Hibbler sing. He was blind, and he always had great-looking girlfriends, though. And he wasn't that blind.
The irony of a song, After the Lights Go Down Low,
exactly.
by a man born blind. Yep. Let's listen to Al Hibbler.
After the lights go down low, baby, you'll know there'll be no reason for teasing me so. And when the dancing is through and folks will be few, I'll be here sitting with no one but you, and I'll be needing you so. After the lights go down low, I wanna hold you and squeeze you as tight as I can. I wanna kiss you and please you and make you understand. And when you thrill me, you fill me with love so divine. Together we can have a good time. When the lights go down low, baby, you know there'll be no reason for teasing me so. And we can cuddle up near without any fear, 'cause I got some sweet talk that you wanna hear. And I'll be needing you so. After the lights go down low. Lights go down low. And I'll be needing you so. After the lights go down low.
I never will hear that song the same way again. You talked about the Baltimore accent. Oh, That's really great. It's Al Hibbler.
Yes, he was in Baltimore, I saw him, but I don't think he picked up the accent. I think it was
an affection for
yes,
him.
Yeah.
He's a singer with the Ellington back in the
days. Was a beautiful orchestra behind him on that.
So you sit through and you go through stacks of stuff and you narrow down to your top 100 and your top whatever, and you wind up with, 14 songs on this. What didn't make it that ought to have made
There's
it
one that didn't make it because it still astounds me. Her name is Doris Duke, and I don't mean the rich woman that was named Doris Duke. There was a very rich woman named that. She had this song I always loved, and it was a hit in Baltimore, and I could never find her music. She had one album out called I'm a Loser. and on the cover, she has a real loser outfit on, sitting in bad white go-go boots.
Is this
sitting
the
there.
Mid-60s?
I don't remember
67.
Even when it was from. Maybe early 70s even. But basically,
see, it would have been
this song is
go-go boots in the early 70s.
This is really a song of despair called I Don't Care Anymore. And listen to the words are really brilliant. We'll talk about a few of the phrases once the song's over. I don't want to spoil it for you.
Sure, Doris Duke. Let's give a listen.
I came into the city from the deep south when the mills shut down. I married a man who treated me like he bought me by the pound.
Poor Doris.
You've got volume 2 starting.
No, there is. I know, but just I love lying here on this lumpy bed. That's one of my favorite phrases I've ever heard of despair. And I don't know what happened to her. If anybody, any of your listeners know, I hope they come in because I think she's great. And the whole album's this good, too. It's not like she just had one song like that. There's some other unbelievable ones on it, too. Alas, there's no song called I'm a Loser, which is the name of the album. I think it sums up her philosophy.
You seem to love this sort of song that that has incredible sincerity and at the same time maybe because it's distant from its time, absurdity in it. And
that song, even in its own time, when it first came out. But you know what? I don't think any of these songs are
the
so bad they're good.
Walking, yeah.
I don't think they're so bad and they're good. I think they're so original they're perfect in a weird way. Yeah, yeah. I don't ever look down on it. It's an amazing song. And Lying Here on This Lumpy Bed, I've never been able to forget. Talk about a good lyric. But they are amazing in the way, and I don't think they're, I like them for ironic reasons, but one thing is they were certainly not done ironically.
Yes.
And there was little humor in any of these songs originally. And at the same time, they're dead serious about it, but it works on that level too, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was laughing during a lot of the
But you're laughing in it, but at the same time, they're all a narrative. I think that's the main thing. You can picture that story. I mean, you can picture the video when she's lying on that lumpy bed when you're knocking at my door. You can cut outside to, like, pimps, not customers. Doris, are you up yet? You know, I mean, want a half and half? You know, it's really sad, but it's so melodramatic in a way that you have to feel for Doris Duke. And I wonder what happened to Doris Duke. And I try to put these songs on my album to get them back in print. Like on this album is the theme for Imitation of Life, the great Douglas Sirk movie that's been out of print for years. And I have Edith Massey, who was the star of one of my films. And her best record, not her worst. I mean, this was on a record called The World's Worst Records once. I disagree. I think it might have been one of the world's worst records, but it's Edith Massey's best record. So it depends what best and worst mean these days. Right.
And she does...
she does Big Girls Don't Cry, which today, you know, with the Frankie Valli story on Broadway and everything, it was time to bring a different take on that, on Jersey Boys.
Good. Well, let's give a listen to Edith Massey. And I thank you, John Waters, for coming by today.
Thank you for having me.
Really great. The collection's wonderful. It's called A Date with John Waters. There's some other songs, not on the collection, songs that John...
some extra added bonus
extra added
features
bonus on,
right.
on the website that you can give a listen to for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered with Edith Massey. Happy Valentine's Day.
You broke my heart and you made me cry. You hurt me when you were around. But now I'm back to let you know you'll never keep this big girl down. Don't cry.
Yes, girls, don't cry.
Who says they don't cry?
Yes, girls, say goodbye, yeah, yeah.
My, oh my.
Yes, girl, didn't cry.
I wonder why.
Silly girl.
I told my boy we'd have to break up. I thought that he would call my bluff. When he said to my surprise, they don't cry.
Girls don't cry.
Who says they don't cry? You broke my heart and you made me cry. You hurt me when you were around. But now I'm back to let you know you'll never keep this big girl down. Shame on you, my mama said. Shame on you, you cried in bed. Shame on you, you told a lie.
Girls don't cry.
That's just an alibi.